Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Righto, welcome back to the 4WD podcast, driven by Shelter. That's music by the Southern River Band, Let It Ride, the socials, the 4WD podcast on Instagram, all our episodes are over at Backchat, that's on YouTube, and our patrons are on here again. We love them. Thank you.
Love them very much.
If you are interested in joining patreon.com/4WD podcast, get over there, help us out. We're loving the interaction with our patrons. So, been an exciting, start to the year. We're well and truly into it now. A few months in.
We are. Yeah, towards the end of April now.
Jaden's got a tattoo, and we're here to talk about the Grenadier.
We are, and that was something that the patrons knew about for a little while.
They've known for a while, but Ronnie, you've got it in your mitts.
Yeah, well, I put the keys in your mitts just before.
You did, and I was very shocked at that. You told me there was a nutter in the street.
Yeah, well, there was, but then he wasn't here, and then
another with us. Anyway, I had this pair of keys in my hand, and I was looking at this awesome truck sitting out the front. I wouldn't even call it a truck. It doesn't deserve the truck name.
It looks like a tank.
Yeah. Slash, not the tank 300 or 500.
No, no. But
it's got a bit of that in it, though.
It does.
That's a European tank.
But first, mate, on the radar is our new favourite segment of the 4WD podcast. Boop.
Yep.
That's the sound that goes with it, yeah. And that's over to you today.
Oh, that's over to me. It
might be a little plug. But you never know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know with me, do you? So,
you just never know.
Here we go. What is this? Wow, these look nice, don't they?
So, give us a look at one of them.
So these are the four-wheeling Australia armrests. So for those travellers.
It's so sturdy.
It is sturdy. And because it's made out of metal, not plastic, you can bend it to suit your car, but we find that with most cars that they fit, you don't have to. And there's only one car so far that doesn't really need one, and that's the Grenadier.
Why is that?
I don't know if you noticed when you sat in it, but they have a long-ass armrest
built
into their door.
I did notice that. It's the first thing I noticed.
It's the first thing I looked for. I was like, put the armrest in there.
I kind of want one of these, though.
That's yours.
No, but like if I've got an Ineos, like I...
Oh, well, I don't know.
Will this fit on a Ranger?
Yeah, it should fit on a Ranger. I'm pretty sure it does.
Really?
I am 90% sure it does.
You know what I was about to say when you pulled these out? I want a 70 series so I can put these sort of things on the door. But this is cool. I am actually quietly surprised at the sturdiness of these things.
They are sturdy. So I've done like a torch holder, done a pin holder. Jaden, you just pick which colour you want afterwards, mate.
Ronnie just came.
What is this? Wow.
What did I get? I got the Australia map, the stickers, the Velcro stickers.
Oh, I got the 76 logo.
I'm going to start bringing gear
that I can't use.
I forgot. I'll bring it next week.
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
I forgot something.
Yeah, I know what you forgot.
I forgot something.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it, so.
Cool. Okay.
Anyway.
So this pocket here, Duggo, so open that in yours. This is for fuel receipts. That's what I find it for. I wouldn't put your wallet or anything in it or your phone, especially if you do some real hard off-roading and you're getting in a car and you're winching the car and stuff, because I have had one of these fall off once because I was getting in and out and I ran over my head torch.
Oh.
However, these, because we designed these so they sit kind of better, so it's particularly on a 70 or most Toyotas, if you angle it and down, they don't come out.
Yep.
Because sometimes when you slam a door, they can fall down if they're not in properly. And just make sure you don't put them between the seal and the glass. You want to put them between the seal and the door, right, and the door skin. We have had one person do that, and it scratched his tent a little bit.
And that's just that little lip in there at the back that you want
to put. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it will only scratch your tin if you put it in the window. You don't want it in the window. You want it on that other seal.
And now, Ronnie, where can I find these?
On the Four Wheeling Australia website.
There,
mate,
it is.
Yeah. Even the Velcro. It comes with the Velcro patch.
It comes with the patch.
Yeah, you can customize it yourself, put your own patches on it.
Good bit of kit.
I need somewhere to put patches.
Great bit of kit.
I like it. Good on the radar.
Yeah.
Very good product.
Come in black, come in sandy and grey, interior grey.
Ooh, I quite like the sandy.
The best seller is a black one.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we're out of stock by the time we get there,
which we get welcome,
don't worry, they will be back.
If he runs out of stock, the ones that we take will quickly be back in. Yeah, yeah. We've actually got two.
We got two. Doug, I remember that. Yeah. Can you mail it to us?
Yeah.
Great on the radar. I love it. Four Wheeling Australia. That's where we're finding them.
Fourwheelingaustralia.com, that's where you find them, or any of my YouTube videos, there's a link down below.
Yep.
You can even buy it off the videos.
Yeah, you'll see them in the videos too. You will notice these now that you're aware.
Mm.
Great on the radar. Very good product.
So which colour are you going to pick?
Oh.
Since you got the tattoo, you can have a pack of all.
Sandy?
Pick of all three.
What one do you want?
No, you did the tattoo.
What do you want?
No, I'll just take what's in front of me.
Do you want the sandy, mate?
No, you go the sandy.
Do you want the sandy?
No, the sandy. Look, black will go nice in the Ranger.
Yeah, Will, you got that. Yeah. That Stormtrooper kind of colouring.
All right, very good. Go. On very the radar, thanks, done. Head over to fourwheelingaustralia.com. Get yourself one of, what do you call them?
The Traveller's Armrest.
The Traveller's Armrest. Fitting.
Traveller's Armrest.
All right, let's get on with it.
Let's do it.
A little bit pushed for time, and now I want to touch on the Grenadier, something that I am super excited about. We saw them at the shows. Is sort of the first time I got to have a look around them. I got to sit in yours today, turn it on.
Feel
what it's like.
It's not mine, though.
It's not yours. It's not yours. You are in possession of one at this current time.
I'm in possession for one for up to 6 months.
Oh, really? Up to 6 months?
Up to 6 months.
Generous.
I likely won't keep it for that long because juggling so many cars now is a bit difficult.
Yep.
But I'm going to keep it for as long as I need to. It is a dangerous experiment for me because it's a cool car.
It is cool.
So I hope it doesn't end up like what I did with a 76 and I'll bloody
imagine that.
Buying one after seeing one. But look, it's an awesome car. There are definitely some things that I'm questioning about it.
Yep.
But there's a lot of things that are like, wow, okay, that's surprising.
Yep.
There's some things it just does better than other vehicles, and then other things that are pretty much the same. And then there are some little downfalls, but everything has good, bad, and something in between. Yep.
Well, let's start with the points of difference. What are they? The real positives in it.
The points of difference. The main one is the car itself. It is built for off road.
Yep.
It is built for off road. And when I say it's built for off road, it's not just I've built something for off road. The 8-speed freaking gearbox goes up to eighth gear when you're off road and low range.
Right. Oh, yeah. Really?
No other car does that. No other car does that.
Wow.
In low range, apart from, a Uni.
What would eighth gear in low range be needed for?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking too when I was driving it, but it's...
You needed it.
It's freaking good. Because say, for instance, the 76, 6-speed auto,
yep.
Prado, 6-speed auto, 200 series, I think it's a 6-speed auto, they all cap out at fourth gear.
In low range.
In low range.
Yep.
Because it's a 1-to-1 ratio. The 300 series has 10 gears. That caps out at, I think, 6 or 7 or something. I can't remember. Is a review I've done on that. I'll have to look at that to see what that does again. But this does all freaking 8 gears, man. And climbing dunes, normally you're like revving and forth. And then you got no more. You can't give it anymore.
Nothing else yet.
Yeah, yeah. All you got is the mercy of third gear, but then you're dropping momentum. And you're revving high. even in a V8 Land Cruiser, you get the same, right? You can be in fifth gear, but in low range, you're topping out. You're making a lot of noise and you're not really doing much.
Yep.
With this car, I was climbing this hill and this, I had to do it again because I was like, what just happened? I didn't feel any change or anything. Did it again. And then when I got just to the top and it was cresting it, it went from sixth gear down to fifth. And this is a steep dune. This car weighs 2.7 ton, rolls out 2.7 ton. Yeah. That's one of its weaknesses.
That's surprising.
It's got a massive curb weight.
Right.
Which means its payload is a little bit compromised. But it has steel bar front, steel bar back, bash plates underneath, recovery points. The one out there that we got to play around with has a winch and rock sliders, like proper rock sliders. The only thing with the rock sliders is you can't really stand on them to reach the roof, but these will protect the car.
Yeah. And what is that? Is there, what model is it? Like, is there a, they got a base sort of.
It's the base model.
Okay. Oh, really? Yeah,
it's the base model. That. But it's got, those things have been added to it. So the rock sliders,
right.
The winch and the snorkel, raised air intake. Those three things have been added to it. Oh, and the windows. That's like an optional thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But the steel bar, that's the Australian version.
Yeah, right.
So this one probably weighs a little bit more than 2.7. But I think rolling out of the factory floor, a base model with not much on it, well, still has a fair bit on it, I guess, is 2665 curb weight.
Yeah, okay.
Which is up there. For example, the 76 series, comparing it to that, I think it's a comparable car, really, because that's a wagon. It's 2.8. This is a 3 liter BMW diesel. So they're kind of very comparable, but that rolls out at 2.3 ton.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's quite light.
Yeah, that has, they found it bulk.
Yeah. But then you've got to add the steel bars and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, any other point? We sort of, I probably sidetracked you there a little bit. The other points of difference that.
The other points of difference are everything is pre wired in it. So, if you want to add lights.
That's cool.
Yeah, I didn't get to show you the outside of that, but if anyone wants to put lights on this car, you just open this flap up, you just plug something in.
You're on.
You're on, mate. Yeah, let's go. It's pre-fused, pre-wired.
How good would that be for pre-switched. A bloke like me?
Yeah.
With no idea.
Still trying to figure out your electrics.
Still trying to figure it out, and Ineos just figured it out for me.
100 grand, mate, and you've got it.
It's all there. It's all there. Look, the winch rope is a little bit compromised because they try to keep the nose as tight as they can. So I think there's only 14 or 15 meters of winch rope on there.
Okay.
So we'll need to use like extension ropes and stuff like that.
Yep.
So that definitely is a little bit of a thing if you're winching. But hey, it's got a winch. And when you order a winch with it, they put the heavier springs in it. So everything's there and it's pretty wide. Yeah. So there's a lot of good stuff about it.
I like it.
There's a lot of good stuff about it. What vibes are you getting from it? You're getting like BMW or you're getting Mercedes from the front?
I'm getting a mix of, Jeep, a mix of definitely the G-Wagon, getting a mix of Defender, and getting a little mix of the new 250 Prado.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
To me, it's like in my mind, it's a absolute winner of a car.
Yeah.
Like just sitting in it, you feel like a boss just sitting in there.
Feels like an armored car when you drive it.
Yeah, it feels like it's just the nice sort of bucket sort of seat.
They're Recaro seats.
Are they?
They're Recaro seats.
Wow. You sit in one of them, you're just like, you beauty. I'm in a good spot. You feel nice up and high, but it's not uncomfy like a Defender is to sit in. Like, you know how they're just really stiff back, hard.
You are kind of
in there, mind you.
Yeah, so you'll find when you drive it, you have two points of contact with all your limbs. So driving it off-road, it locks you in.
Right.
It's awesome for that. My only concern is on a long trip, because your left foot, you can't really put it anywhere else.
Yeah, you did mention that. There's not a lot of space for that.
Yep.
So if that's one of the downfalls, what's another example of something that you're finding to be a little bit confusing or...
Fuel capacity is a bit of a downfall.
What's that?
It's 90 litres.
Right.
A 90-litre tank.
Is there room for a sub-tank?
I think there is one company that does one. I can't remember who it is, but you can put a 58-litre at the back or 68-litre. It's something with an 8.
Okay.
Which does extend your range. That is almost necessary. Otherwise, you can do a fuel pod on the side and a fuel pod on the back, 20 litres, 20 litres.
Yep, okay.
If you have the petrol version, you probably don't want to be doing that though.
Yeah, right. So there's a petrol version.
There's a petrol, it's a 3 litre diesel, this one, but you can get a 3 litre petrol.
Right.
And I think they're developing an EV one. So the unique part about this project is the fact that I have full access. I can, you know, within limits, I can modify it.
Yep.
I can't make the car illegal per se, which is fair enough because of, you know, there's insurances and stuff and loan papers involved.
Yep.
But I have full rights to say what I think about the car. That was the main thing because if I couldn't, I wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah. And you've got to love that in a company that backs its product.
Yeah.
To be able to give you, because they would know your reach. That's the reason that you guys are in contact.
Yeah.
They put themselves out there.
Yeah, they have.
By allowing you to do that.
Yeah. I even mentioned to them, look, would you be okay? Like, I need to know that you are okay, that I'm going to compare this a lot to the 76.
Yeah.
Because I think they're very comparable cars. And, they were, like, happy with that.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, and I can already see there are advantages for each of those two cars. And they're, like, for an off-roady type of person who wants a solid axle, because they both have a solid axle, similar size engine. One has a far better gearbox than the other, being designed for off-road.
Yep.
But then the other one has a far bigger advantage with the weight and all this stuff. Look, this we can talk about later on when I, go through all the motions. But the plan is to, because I've already picked it up, had my first impressions. I have done an off-road test, so 4 or 5 days of like proper driving. The other thing is I'm going to modify it next week.
Jesus.
So,
you just don't rest, do you?
Listeners are listening to this on a Friday. By Monday, 17-inch wheels with mud terrain tires. The hoops are going on the bull bar. Oh, that's something we didn't mention, isn't it? So the bull bar, it's just a bar, right? It's exposed on the front. You can add hoops to it by bolting them on. So you don't have to fork out $5,000 for a bar or $2,000 or whatever a bar costs, your fitting and all that. You don't have to fork that money out to put a bar on because it comes with it. All you do is put the hoops on.
It's pretty impressive.
I think that's pretty cool. Never seen that. So they've really thought about it on the off-road aspect, but it does limit you to, it does limit them to the clients, I feel.
Okay.
But I mean, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to build an off-road car. So the clientele it limits is the people who want to buy, for example, a Land Cruiser or a Nissan Patrol. It's like a day-to-day car. You could use that as a day-to-day car, but unless you're going to use it for off-road, I don't think this car needs to be off-road. You're wasting the car.
Yeah, for the money you're paying for it too.
Yeah, but so the base model is $109,000.
Right.
So you compare that to other cars. I haven't thought about this enough, but it doesn't seem too bad.
Yeah, okay.
However, this is a base model and I haven't included the winch and all that stuff that's on there. So I think we're probably looking, it's probably sitting at about 132 or something if you were to buy it.
Yeah.
So when you compare that to other cars, I mean, it comes with everything you need. You still have to fit out the back. You still have to, I guess.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah.
So it does have everything there. I think it'll be a good tow vehicle, speculating.
Yep.
This is looking at stats. The tow ball weight is 350 kilos.
Yep.
Which is huge. The GCM is 7 ton. So it's matching all the
I'm trying to picture towing something.
And I reckon because it's such a heavy car from the start, I reckon it's going to plant itself really good. It's wider.
Yeah.
I found out when I was off-roading.
It looks like it would sit really nicely.
Yeah,
driving like it's got that's. I like the wide stance on the car. Yeah. I mean, it looks tough.
Yeah, it definitely looks like it's squatting, doesn't it?
It does. Heavy. Yeah, like a low center of gravity on it.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing when it's lifted.
Yeah. So the modifications we briefly touched on is about the tires.
Yep.
17-inch rims.
Yeah, going to 34s.
34s.
That's what fits on the back door.
Yep.
35 doesn't fit.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. And then what else? The hoops.
The hoops. Yeah, I want to keep it
lift.
Obviously, it can't go 35s because that'll be too far. But yeah, the lift is a 40 mil lift.
Yep.
For springs that are designed for the car.
Yep.
Roof rack, I'm thinking about. But see, some of these things, once the test is done, stuff that I add to it, I'm going to want to take those bits back and recoup some.
Yep.
Recoup some money on stuff I can't really get help with. You know, but.
I'll just buy them off you when I buy my Grenadier.
You just buy that Grenadier.
Grenadier man now.
Yeah. It's the colour.
Yeah.
Can you guess the colour?
Is it? Oh, I'm not gonna, it was a Sandy Torp sort of style colour, wasn't it?
No. It's
like a cream?
It's Magic Mushroom.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah. Probably not a colour that I would personally
Does pick. It look a bit sandy though, doesn't it, to the eye?
Yeah, it's because it's dirty.
Oh. Jeez, you did get dirty then.
Well, it's got white dust, red dust.
Okay.
Yeah, it needs a clean.
So it's called Magic Mushroom.
Magic Mushroom.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. I never knew that was a colour.
Yeah, neither did I when I heard the
colour. I can't even Google that because obviously it's not going to come up.
Yeah, it might be a bit of psilocybin. Yeah, I mean, like the inside of it, you feel like you're in a cockpit. There's so many switches. And interestingly enough, it's overwhelming when you get in, right? So overwhelming. But when you break it down, you've got all the normal instruments down the bottom.
Yep.
And then the top part, you've got all the off-road stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then you've got all the auxiliary stuff. So it's kind of broken into three bits.
It almost has like a little bit of an old school feeling there. But then on the contrast, it's very sort of futuristic with how it's all, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but
it does make sense.
It's got an old school feel, but then everything like the pre-wiring of all the switches and it's all up here in like an aeroplane style, like cockpit. Yeah. And it's bloody cool to sit in.
It's like the Back to the Future DeLorean meets a fighter jet.
Yeah, somewhere in there. And you got 3 tons of car behind you. But it's bloody impressive. I like it.
Yeah.
So what's the plan for us then? Hopefully we can organise a time that suits everyone to have a go. What do we want to see in it?
So we're still like working out our time-wise.
Yeah.
But I would like you to have a drive from wherever we leave all the way to camp. So leave the Ranger at home.
Yep.
Drive to camp in it. We camp out and then we do some tracks the next day or that day, we do some tracks depending on what time we get out there.
Yep.
And then, we'll drive back. Yeah.
Look forward to that.
It's got driving lights on it already.
Yeah, right.
So in the grill, it's got those extra two lights.
Oh, really?
But it's so much to look at. You probably missed it.
Yeah,
I missed it to start with. They're not the brightest, but they do the job. Yeah.
Right. That's all I need.
Yeah. We compared it with the two lights I put on a 76, which I got from Super Cheap Auto, and they were like, poof. And the Grenadier gives you enough light, but the other one, it shows you how much an aftermarket light.
Yeah, did those super cheap lights perform, actually?
Pretty good.
Good?
Yeah.
Nice.
Pretty good.
I remember talking about that.
So the way we angled them, I was able to angle them before I left, just before. So Jono wrapped the front of the 76 before we left, so we've gone a bit backwards here. I forgot to mention this last week. He wrapped the front. And we installed the lights, so there's no chrome on the front anymore. Yep. And then I angled the lights so that it froze extra right in the middle.
Right.
Because I was mainly worried about animal strikes towing that big caravan.
Yep. Yeah.
But with the lights on the Grenadier, it froze out enough to see that. And I think with factory lights, because they got to meet certain standards, I think they're limited to how high I can angle the lights. Whereas aftermarket lights, you just go,
Well, I'm interested to see how this all goes. It's exciting that it's here and we actually get to have a look around it. And I am a little bit worried for you. I'm going to be honest, Ronnie, because I saw what happened to yourself in the 76.
Mate, I'm out of money, so don't worry.
Yeah, I know, but I know that you found a way in the past to make it work. So
yeah, well, that was the mortgage, and I don't want to be tapping into that again.
But it'd be great to see how this one performs in your eyes too, because it's another, you know, whether or not it'll be as popular as the 76, I'm not sure, or a Land Cruiser in general, but it's going to be great to see where it goes and what it can do.
I think it's out of all the cars to test, I think this is pretty exciting because it's designed for off-road. Let's see what it can do. Is there too much tech in it or is it fine? One thing I will say is with the tech in it, so far, every single button that we use in there is a usable button that you will find in other four-wheel drives. It doesn't have those silly menus like on the new Ranger has all these menus. Yeah. It's not too bad actually on a Ranger, but on the new Defender.
Right.
When I test drove that, that was frustrating because you got like 10 different things you got to select.
So it doesn't have that?
Doesn't have that. Okay. That's what I was worried about.
User-friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
It even has a tire gauge monitor so you can monitor
the tire pressure. Comes in stock.
Yeah, yeah, comes stock, and you can monitor the temperature. So if you're driving too long with low pressures, it'll show that it's increasing in temperature, and you're like, "Yeah, I better pull over and fill them up," like you should have done in the first place. But that's a pretty cool thing. But because it has those things, there are extra steps to take when you go off roading. For example, airing down tires.
Yep,
you got to recalibrate it because otherwise it's going to send up alarms.
But
you got to know how to use all the buttons, otherwise.
Yeah.
So there are some things, but
I think that's it looks like there's a bit to learn.
A lot to learn. It's not a car you can drive in and you know what to do straight away.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Yep. But in saying that, it's not all the, you know, buttons and screens and stuff. It's actually kind of switches and knobs.
It's switches and knobs, but yeah, it's still electronics involved.
Yep. Yep.
And I'll be honest, it took me 20 minutes to work out how to get it. Get the center diff locked.
Right.
I could get it there, but it wasn't locking in because I had to be in motion to get it in.
Yeah.
The car had to be moving it, and that's counterintuitive to me in an automatic. And I don't normally drive cars that have all-wheel drive where you've got to lock the center.
Yep.
Normally, I'm like part-time four-wheel drive systems where you just go, all right, I want to go four-wheel driving, four-wheel drive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Righto. Well, there's a lot more to come on this. I mean, you know, you've got this for a few months now at least, and obviously we're going to have a good look over it in that time. So,
look forward to you driving it.
Yeah, I can't wait, mate. If we can get that to work, that's going to be awesome. I'm actually really looking forward to this one.
Yeah, it should be really good.
Yeah,
I have I want to do some rankings with you, Ronnie. Some pre predictions.
He's been quiet over there. Says he's been.
I've been listening,
putting something together.
I've been listening intently. I haven't been putting anything together, but yeah, I should have been. Where do you think this car's going to rank amongst the cars that you've owned? Hilux, 76, 78, 79, and all the other ones that you've had.
I predict it's going to rank fairly high because it's a solid axle vehicle and it's on coils, and we haven't even touched on that, but the comfort in this thing, it shits all over a leaf sprung car. Like if you drove my 76 or your 76 across some of the stuff, I drove this and I was like, I had to actually get out and look under the car and go, yeah, it's not IFS. Was it? There's some things about this car that are like, wow. But then, you know, there are some other things, like I mentioned, you know, like sitting position for a very long time.
Yep.
I think this car's designed in Europe, their distances aren't that great. Shorter.
Yep.
Distance in Australia. So it's a tug of war between those things and those phenomenally good things. It's a roller coaster experience, I have to say. Yeah. It's literally highs and lows and highs and lows. And all of a sudden you're in a low and then something happens, you're back in a high. Like, for example, the automatic gearbox in low range to start with, I was like, oh, drives a bit weird, you know? And then when I was babying it around first to learn the car. Once I put my foot down and drove it like I'd normally drive a car, I was like, okay, this is different.
Yep.
So anyone who jumps in that car for a day and thinks they know what they're talking about, they know jack shit, because I know jack shit still about this car, and I've been driving it for nearly a week.
Yep.
Wow.
There you go.
That's good. That's a good summary. What do you think? How do you feel like it's going to perform on the modifications you're planning on doing to it?
I think it's going to perform quite well with the bigger tires because we're only going up two sizes. No, barely two sizes because it's almost got 33s on it and just going to 34s. It's going to make it look more staunch for sure, and then have the lifts. I'm looking forward to seeing how it drives actually with the lift, if it still handles like it does now. You feel really safe in it when you're on angles. So, it has flex as well. It's got coils. It still has limited flex, but it definitely has more flex than I'm used to.
Yep.
And it doesn't need, it doesn't need the amount of flex it has because it's got front and rear diff locks, you know? So, but some of the technology, for example, the diff locks, they're a bit finicky if you don't know how to use them. So you got to press it twice and you got to remember that. You got to burn it in up here because if you don't and you do what I did, press it three times, you're telling it to go in and now you're telling it to go out. Because it's obviously a safety switch because if one of your kids just touches the button, you don't want the car just to do that. So it's like tap it first and then confirm once more to turn it off. But it needs to sense the wheel speed to disengage and disengage the locker, and it can't re-engage the locker until it's disengaged. So there's a few little things there, but it's hard to explain. But when we go into the system, I'll run you through it too. When we,
yep.
Yeah, there's looking a few sections I want you to drive it on. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Wow. You ready? Oh, no. I've seen what he does. I'm not up to that. But anyway.
What's been the most surprising thing for you so far?
Oh, the most surprising thing? Probably the 8-speed gearbox. In the auto and the Beamer. Auto, the Beamer. Yeah, the first gear low in automatic going downhill. That is
happy with that.
It's good. It's 76 is nowhere near that. It is so slow going down in first gear low. It's quite incredible. I don't know what ratios they got, you know, in the transfer or whatever. It's bloody good. To a point where it was too slow on the dunes the other day. The side wind was actually, it was that windy, it was actually pushing me sideways. So I had to gear up the second gear so I could go down a bit faster.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're talking like a real steep dune, so it wouldn't take much to push the back end.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. There you go.
Wow.
Loving it.
Any other predictions? Because I know we when you had the 76, weren't expecting you to like it that much.
No.
Now you've fallen in love with it.
Maybe we need to get Torben.
I just want to get.
Yeah. Look.
I want to come back on some of these statements in 3 months' time.
That's a good point.
Let's do that. So I think what's really going to tell this vehicle apart is traveling in it. And soon I'll be traveling in both the cars. I'll be driving 2 days in the 76, 2 days in the Grenadier. So Jono will drive one when I'm driving the other. So one will be a camera car, one will be a feature car. Then we swap over. So I'll get his feedback as well. And bouncing feedback between us as well is quite interesting too.
Yep.
Yeah. Would
be. Sure.
There you go.
But yeah.
How do you feel like you're gonna feel how do you think you're gonna feel at the end of this when you have to give it back?
Probably relieved so I don't have to juggle that many cars.
If you're disappointed though, I reckon that'll be a win for the Grenadier.
Yeah. Look,
disappointed in giving it back.
Yeah, because it's like, I actually really enjoyed that.
Thought you meant like disappointed in the car.
Oh, look, once it's all over, even if I like do or don't really love the car, you know, one or the other, or if I'm just like, yeah, it's cool, but it's not for me or whatever. Regardless of any of that, I think it'll sit quite well at the end. I just want to make sure that I've achieved all the different testing the limits as far as I can. I've got a plan of things, and I've got a secondary plan of stuff if it can get past that. If I'm satisfied with what it shows me there,
yep,
I may not do the other bit. One of those tests that I have in the other bit is a desert run. And that's where I want to try and work out how the hell am I going to get 1,000 Ks of off-road range out of this car.
Yeah.
That I think will be the biggest test.
Have you done any fuel economy tests yet?
Yeah, but we
just kept an eye on it.
Thrashing it off-road. We're getting. That was 540 Ks only, but it was a lot off-road.
Yep.
So you can't really calculate a car on that. It's like the 76. I did a lot off-road as well, and that got 720, but it's got 40 more litres, right? So it's hard to compare there. So, yeah, highway, I think the trip will answer it.
Yep.
The first run, which is coming up soon.
Yep. Beautiful. Yep.
There we go.
Why don't we get into around the fire pit?
Around the fire pit?
Why not?
Press that button.
Press it.
I mean, light the fire.
Yeah.
Some real fire. That's,
you need the...
Give away our secrets.
Give away our secrets. We've got one here from Dubster, and that's Nick, who works here. He wants to know what happens if you crash the Ineos.
That's a good question.
Well, there's an excess.
What if I crash it?
Well, there's an excess I'll have to pay.
What happens if Duggo crashes it?
Well, there's an excess I'll have to pay.
Oh, so it doesn't matter. You just have to pay it. Duggo will be paying that.
Yeah. Look, I have told him this ain't happening unless you realise it's going to be pinstriping and stuff. So there was that checklist of where the scratches and dents are. I was like, that's not going to happen. I'm going to take as much care as I can, just like I did with the 76, because it's my vehicle. I'm not going to intentionally take it down a bushy track just to see how to paint handles, you know? I'm not going to do that. However, if I end up in a situation where it's like, I can't go back and I haven't been here before and there's a scratchy track, I'm going to have to go through it.
I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Makes me nervous.
Well, I mean, if they're aware of it, they've signed off on it, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. They're aware of it. It's all there, so...
Yeah. Right. It sounds like a decent company to deal with.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, they're pretty excited, and
for
I think
$110,000 car, they're a lot better than I would be.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. This one from Alex Gagini. Got a question for Ronnie. How come after years of trying to get the 79 legal without it, you got a GVM upgrade? Is staying within 3.3 tons unachievable with that setup?
Which car are we talking about?
79.
He
said 79, but he says after years of trying to get the 79 legal without it.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So the kit that's on a 79 is for a 4.2 ton. Does it need that? No. Not in its current configuration. I did that, so if I want to put a canopy on it, then it would, you know, then I could get it to all work. Currently, in its current form, 3.3 ton is fine. It's fine. That's how I'll put it. Yeah. But the other thing about getting the car legal and all that is to try and get the tire size and the lift and all that stuff. So there's still a little bit of work to be done because there are a couple of little additions to it that aren't quite approved yet, but the paperwork is there. So regardless if it's me or someone else who does it, depending on if it's a 79 or the Troopy that ends up going, there is paperwork, so it can be done either way. Yeah.
Great. Jack Miles, is a tow hitch receiver being the only recovery point on my car sufficient to go on a few trips with what is predominantly beach driving? I haven't got any recovery points on the front of my vehicle yet. It's on the list, but not a priority. He's got a shovel and a max track, but if I get really stuck, is a tow hitch receiver okay to be recovered from or do a recovery from as a last resort?
Is it a shovel and a max track or max track?
Max. Or it's. I have a shovel and max tracks.
Yeah, okay. Cool. Make sure it's
got a pair.
It wasn't one track.
I may have misspoke there. Did I say a shovel and a max track?
Max track.
Yeah. No. The other one is buried under the ground.
Yeah. The other one's long gone. He's got max tracks and a shovel.
Look, if you have a recovery hitch in the back, like the ratchet recovery one, you're not going to go forward, but at least you'll go back, right? So unless you're like the guy from Talladega Nights, you know, First or last, you'll be fine. You could be second place by pulling backwards and then go forward again. Look, max tracks is fine. I do suggest having two pairs if you've got no recovery equipment. Two pairs are going to be better because if you only have one pair and then you kind of half recover yourself, but then you bog down and you can't get the other two out, there's another two that you can likely get out, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Makes sense to
Just
me.
Don't go last.
Don't go last.
Nah.
Unless it's a muddy mess and you want to see what happens.
Unless you're driving in reverse, though, as well.
Oh.
You might be really talented.
Wow. You might be killing.
is this a reference to take the piss out of the people that comment, I can do that in reverse two-wheel drive?
All those people are just Duggo.
That'd be me and the Ineos.
Yeah, you and the Ineos, I could do that. Tom's PX1. Hey boys, just got a question for you. What's the difference between parabolic leaf springs and heavy duty leaf springs, and what did you put? And what would you put on your setup? Sorry, I'm terrible at reading this. Parabolic leaf springs and heavy duty leaf springs. What are the difference? And what one would you put on your setup?
So the difference is, if you go a heavy duty leaf spring, it's going to be pretty rough. There's not much leeway. You need the weight for it to feel nice and to actually behave nice. It's even difficult to get a vehicle to flex and articulate, depending on the situation. If you've got no weight on it and you've got like the heavy leaf back set, it's a rough ride. Leafs in general are rough rides. So parabolics, it's kind of like a similar setup. However, it's a bit more freedom. It's a bit more flex in it. You have these leaves, there's less of them, and when you add the weight to it, then they go down and then they touch the helper leaf. Or when you're flexing, they may go down and touch the helper leaf. So they're a bit more comfortable, they make more noise. Some people say they're not good for certain off-road situations, but I've never had a situation where it's become a problem. And what they're referring to is a normal leaf pack, a heavy one, they're always together and they're like shaped like a bow. So picture your parabolics also shaped like a bow, but the helpers down the bottom are straight. So what they're referring to is when they articulate, that straight bit could hit into a rock or something. I've never had that be the case, but that's what it could happen, but it's never happened to me.
There you go.
What Ronnie said.
Yeah. So yeah. You agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. Fully.
Great. That's all I've got for us today, boys. Beautiful. Obviously, it's a quicker episode. Yeah, today we'll be running straight out the door.
Yeah. We're kicked out. Yeah.
Gonna go for a blocky or what?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh,
yeah. See you,
Aiden. Nah, it's all good. All right.
Well done, boys. Thank you for that. Well done, Ronnie. Thanks for the gift.
You're welcome, mate.
Appreciate it. No worries. It's Music by the Southern River Band. See us out. 4WD Podcast on Instagram. All our episodes over at Backchat to YouTube. Again, our patrons, we love you. Thank you for getting on board. See you next time.
Adios, amigos.